Chapter 11. Three More Weddings. Emma was very upset. First, she had to understand herself. "When did I start to love Mr. Knightley?" she asked herself. "I cannot remember a time when I did not. But I know that he sees my faults and doesn't love me. How shocked he was when I spoke unkindly to Miss Bates. Maybe he does love Harriet. I've seen them talking together." By the evening, it seemed that summer was gone. Dark clouds filled the sky, cold rain fell, and the wind shook the leaves from the trees. Emma sat with her father and remembered the sadness they felt on the evening of Mrs. Weston's wedding day. "But Mr. Knightley came to visit us then," she thought. "If he gets married, Harriet will be the most important person in his life, and it will be my own fault. Oh, why didn't I allow Harriet to marry Robert Martin?" The next morning, the weather was still wet and grey. But in the afternoon, the clouds went away, the sun appeared, and it was summer again. Emma hurried outside into the garden for a walk. It was very beautiful after the rain, and she began to feel a little better. She was thinking about Mr. Knightley in London when, suddenly, she saw him coming towards her.
"I have just got back. Isabella sends her love," he told her.
He looked very serious. "Maybe he told his brother about his plan to marry Harriet and he didn't like it," Emma thought. They walked together and Mr. Knightley was silent. "Maybe he wants to tell me about his love for Harriet and is afraid to begin," she thought. She could not bear to be quiet. Trying to smile, she said, "There is some surprising news."
"I've already heard about Jane Fairfax and Frank Churchill," he said quietly. Then he took her hand in his and held it against his heart. "He has behaved very badly towards you, my dearest Emma."
Emma's heart beat faster. "You're very kind, but I'm not sorry that Frank is engaged. I was never in love with him."
"Really?" said Mr. Knightley. "But I could see how much you enjoyed his company."
"I did, but I feel ashamed of the way we flirted. Maybe it helped him hide his true feelings for Jane Fairfax."
"Frank Churchill is a lucky man to have found such a wonderful wife," Mr. Knightley said, very seriously. Emma was afraid he was thinking about Harriet. Then suddenly he said, "Emma, I must tell you something." She did not want to hear him say that he loved Harriet, but she knew she had to listen.
"Mr. Knightley, you can tell me anything as a friend," she said.
"As a friend, that's the problem," he said. "Oh, dear Emma, can you give me any hope?"
Emma could not speak. She was afraid of waking from the happiest dream.
"Dearest Emma, please give me your answer. If it is no, tell me quickly," said Mr. Knightley.
Emma was slowly understanding everything. Harriet was nothing to him, and she was everything.
"I have never loved anyone but you," she said.
Emma was very nearly perfectly happy, but two things troubled her: her father and Harriet.
"I can never leave Papa, so I cannot marry while he's alive," she said to herself.
and the thought of it made her cry.
"And I've done Harriet a great wrong. I'll write to her, because I cannot bear to see her, and I'll ask Isabella to invite her to London. Poor Harriet may enjoy visiting London for a while."
The following week, when Harriet was in London, Mrs. Weston came to Hartfield with a letter for Emma. It was from Frank, and it explained everything.
"He's very sorry for what he has done," she told Emma. "He had to be engaged secretly because of Mrs. Churchill, who did not want him to marry.
But he flirted with me when he was engaged to Jane," said Emma.
"He was sure you didn't love him, and it helped him hide his secret. He thought you guessed that he was in love with Jane, and that he sent her the piano. He nearly told you once when he first left Highbury."
"How could Jane bear it?" asked Emma.
"She quarrelled with him after Box Hill and broke off their engagement," said Mrs. Weston. "That's why she agreed to take the governess job, which Mrs. Elton found."
"I'm afraid I made her unhappy too," said Emma, blushing to think of how she flirted with Frank at Box Hill.
"But I believe she and Frank love each other very much and will be happy together."
A few days later, Mr. Knightley came to Hartfield with more news.
"I have something to tell you, Emma, and I'm afraid you won't like it," he said. "Harriet Smith is going to marry Robert Martin. I've just heard it from Robert himself."
"I am very surprised, but it doesn't make me unhappy. Tell me everything," cried Emma.
"Robert went to London 3 days ago on business. I asked him to take some papers to my brother, and John and Isabella invited him to dinner the next day. He visited the house the day after too, and was able to speak to Harriet alone."
"I'm truly happy for her," Emma said. "I feel so differently now. I was very foolish before."
"My opinion of Harriet has changed too," said Mr. Knightley. "I've tried to get to know her because of you and Robert, so I've talked to her often."
Emma was very happy.
"Now I'll be pleased to see Harriet again and to get to know Robert Martin," she thought.
Mr. Knightley spoke again.
"My dear Emma, at first I thought your father might live with us at Donwell, but I've had another idea, that I live at Hartfield."
"I never thought of that," cried Emma happily. "But could you really leave Donwell and live here with my father?"
"I would do anything for you," he said. Before the end of the year, there were 3 more weddings. In the autumn, Frank Churchill and Jane Fairfax were married in London, and Harriet Smith and Robert Martin were married in Highbury. A month later, Mr. Knightley and Miss Woodhouse stood in the same church in Highbury as Mr. Elton joined their hands in marriage. The wedding was no different to any other wedding, and Mr. and Mrs. Elton thought that their own wedding had been greatly superior. But the true friends at the wedding saw a perfect match, and 2 very happy people joined together in marriage. Penguin Readers. Emma. Jane Austen. Level 4. Retold by Kate Williams. Illustrated by Rupert Van Wyk. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts.
read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright Penguin Books Limited 2020.